You make a brilliant decision every single day, and it starts right when you get up in the morning. It's the decision what to put in your maw, what to chew on, what to drink, and how you're gonna start your day. Every day we make the decision to eat, what to put in our bodies, and we've come a long, long way. I don't just mean on our front, knowing what we should put in, but on the back end. How many food industries and companies provide us with healthier options year over year, making our lives a lot easier. Because if I just want to get something in my belly right quick, it's up to my decision making, yes, but also the availability. And on the availability front, companies have been a lot more aware that they can't just serve crap to us on a daily basis and get away with it. Consumers have been aware, and those producers have responded in kind. This is one of the reasons, you guys, that I've chosen to make sure that I'm always in the gym, ranting, raving, talking, preaching, banging the podium about that nutrition, because it's a decision you make and you have to make on a daily. So never give up the decision to choose wisely. In fact, you could start it out on a positive note right here this week by thinking about how these foods make you feel, not just like comfort food, like you and your cup of tea in the morning or whatever you drink to get you going, but how they literally control your mood. So we're going to take this opportunity on a TGIM. Thank God it's Monday on another week of Ego Killer right here to give you guys the best start for your day, your week, and making sure that we tap in thinking about how that gut brain axis is more than just this weird intersection where my food just goes in my mouth and then it comes out my butt later on. Somewhere in between, I hope that I've collected enough nutrients to keep me going throughout the day and maybe the week. All right. And look, there's so much going on. We're going to break it down. I'm going to talk about the mind-gut connection by Emron Mayer a little bit, where we talk about how 95% of your serotonin is created in your belly, in your colon, in your gut, and how the things that we're eating actually affect our mood, and how all of that is widely connected to our need to be gratified real quick, instant gratification. Delaying some of that may be the best choice for us. So we're going to break all of that down right here on another TGIM. Let's go. Love talking nutrition with you guys. There's so much nebulous information out there, and I hope to make it clearer. And one thing you guys can help me out with is you can go to CoachJohanCSCS.com and download that free jumpstart guide on the site. Right when you get there, it'll ask you to punch in your name and email, sign up, you get that free packet off top. So now you're already prepared. And the reason that I like to talk about nutrition is to clarify for you guys all of that meandering information that goes on out there. Because a lot of it is us fixating on what harms us or us fixating on what we're doing wrong. And that prevents us from looking at what we're doing right, or it prevents us from taking that little wrong that we do, that milkshake. It's that damn milkshake that I had on a Sunday, right? That threw us off. That one error, that time I ate McDonald's, the arches, that got to me right there. And we do that whole thing and we start to feel the guilt or whatever, and we don't take a step back. It's hard to take a step back. That's why guys like me, people like me, coaches like myself come in and say, no, don't focus on that freaking McDouble. Focus instead on the fact that it speaks to like how you're eating. All right. That's why I love talking about nutrition with you guys. But one of the dopest things that I've learned more about recently that I've always been super skeptical about came from that book, The Mind-Gut Connection. But it is something really intrinsic. All right. So I've said it from day one. The way we eat in America is shit. Like the cultural standard of eating of a Western American diet is shit. shite shiitake. It's terrible. It's terrible. There is, you want like proof? Think about, take any continent, take South America, take Asia, break up Asia into East, West, take parts of Europe. Although, you know, when I think of European cuisine, there's a lot of that that goes back to like some of that haggis. Like, I'm not really sitting here trying to parse out the nutritional, you know, benefits of that haggis. I might not try the haggis. I've never even seen a picture of haggis, but let's just stick with maybe other parts of Europe where cuisine was invented. Italy, you know, you like that Bosnia, somewhere around there. Think of parts of Africa going forward. Australia, does that cuisine jump off the page at you? But anyway, think of all of those people. Now think about what folks from there are eating for breakfast and lunch. And then think what we're primed to eat for breakfast and lunch in America is bullshit, isn't it? A lot of the time. And that's not to disparage like our culture, but I am here to say what we are automatically told we should be snacking on, eating in the first thing in the morning, ain't what's supposed to get us to the end of the day. We need all these little pit stops along the way. And those pit stops don't leave us feeling better. They leave us just feeling more energized. And it's all about that instant gratification. All right. So walk with me. Stay with me as we take this angle. The Western diet, right? Super convenience based. Out the box a lot of the time. Is far different than so many other cultures. And I could sit here and think about, oh, how they eat in Jamaica, or how they eat in Cuba or Japan or all the other places. Or I always think of street food, a lot of other cultures that have like bona fide street food. And of course, in America, especially in California, when we think of street food, it's other cultures' food. You know what I mean? So like American street food, we don't have that. Now, what is street food, right? What is peasant food? What is the food that we eat, you know, for a siesta, before a siesta? What do we eat for lunch? How is our lunch? How many lunches do we have? All of these are tied into that diet. And if you notice, a lot of other cultures, they eat along the lines of how they need to feel for the day. Need more energy to get back out there and hit the grind? High carbohydrate, a lot of fish. It's meat early in the day. It's a lot of greens. It's lentils. It's stuff cooked in a clay pot, et cetera, et cetera. When was the last time you walked into any restaurant founded by an American magnate and there was a clay pot in the back? Like even Papa John or whoever that fool that, you know, they're cooking on those open stove with the pizzas and everything. Like it's still like quickly made pizza. And that's not even fully American. When was the last time you thought about the American diet and challenged whether or not it was really super healthy for you? And then you say, oh, well, what I had today was, well, how much of that stuff was truly American? Always think of Trump. Remember Trump? Trump was talking about I don't remember the specifics, but I remember he was making a point that, yo, I eat American food over here breaking open another Big Mac. And it's like, oh, man. He's 220 pounds and healthy as an ox at 75 years old. And dude be over here eating one Big Mac a day or whatever. Like he's Chad Ochocinco. But he's not like working out like that. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's the American diet. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Convenience food out of a box that was made as fast as humanly possible. Almost like they're trying to speed run lunch. That's what we do. And so for the longest time, I look from that angle and I said, yo, this isn't the way that we need to work. And when I talk to you guys who are strict about our American diets, and I mean like a global American diet, you might be from the South where they have a way more kind of indigenous way of eating and cooking, or corners of the country that are Southwest, or out where I live here, there's more ethnicities and they've stuck more cultural lines along the way that they eat. And I just say like the American diet, the global American diet. It is unhealthy. I don't even have an adjective. It's unhealthy. And it doesn't make you feel good along the way. And as I've continued learning and talking about this stuff, I've noticed and heard a lot about how your gut entertains all that stuff. So let's talk about that real quick. My belief was, oh, if I eat, you know, let's take a green salad with a bunch of spinach. Oh, forget the spinach. Let's get even healthier, right? Let's say I had a spring mix and arugula. All that stuff that back in the day when they would cut that off of the greens out in the fields and get that to your supermarket real quick, they'd just toss the stuff away until they realized, oh, those hippies out in California and Oregon and stuff, they'll pay for these spring mix greens. And then they started charging a bunch for it. And then they're like, wait a minute, we could bag it by itself and people will pay for it? Bet. So let's go ahead. Let's say we have that carrot and arugula, right? Looking all purple and green. And we're in there eating like that. And then we break that down, right, for meal one. And then right next to you, you have a coworker that's eating, let's do the standard American diet, right? The Arches. Went to the Arches, got that Big Mac out that carton, and ripping that open right there. It was my thought that as long as you're satiated and you ate your lunch along the lines of what you're supposed to be eating, you just gonna feel good. Like you were hungry before the arugula salad and then you ate it and you felt good. You're hungry before the special sauce, lettuce, cheese, and then you ate it and you felt good. And then along the lines of that, I was like, nah, your gut's just gonna break that down. The arugula, it's gonna extract all those soluble fibers. The Big Mac, it's gonna be like, soluble what? I'll just take this globule, break that down, and you'll just feel better. And if yes, of course, there's less nutrients in the boxed meat and all that, in the meat sandwich, sure. But by and large, that's not going to make you a feel better person. You're not going to be finger gunning all your coworkers, you know, ready to get back after lunch, get it popping because you had this or that. Well, it turns out all of these Joe Roganites make very decent points on this. The enteric nervous system. Enteric, speaking about the nervous system and its connection from your brain to your gut. There are billions, I don't have a number here, there are billions of neural pathways that go directly from your brain to your colon. And all of those neurons that go from your brain to your colon are a direct highway. And so what you eat ends up sending these neurotransmitters and chemical messengers to your dome and telling your brain like, yo, I feel really, really good. And a long time ago, and you can find this on my site, I did a little breakdown article. And in that article, I made a graph after doing some research and I found some of the foods that make us happy. And it wasn't croissants or whatever. You guys eat croissants. People love croissants. I don't really understand the croissant. I don't get it. A donut. All right, let's just say a donut. Something buttery, pastry, fat, sweet, fried. That's not what makes us feel the best. What makes us feel the best when we eat is actually veggies. Like literally the happiest foods. Now, all the other foods behind the veggies are stuff that you'd expect, but I couldn't believe when I saw that at first. I was like, whoa. There is a neural pathway from your brain to your gut to your brain, literally, that skips over your stomach, da-da-da, your left arm. It goes right to your gut. So what you eat can actually make you feel better off top. How dope is that? Just think what you put in your body right now could actually have an impact. I talked about it before, how much of that serotonin gets produced in your gut biome. Remember when you were a kid and you were in school and you had some of your classmates who came, you know, they had that home life that was a little bit different. You knew they came to school hungry. You knew they were hungry at school. And how did they perform in school? Not good at all, right? Not good at all. And then, of course, it's always like they're the ones making the most noise. They're the ones always getting in trouble. They're the ones getting, you know, clapped with the ruler on the knuckles. They're the ones always in the office. And it's not like they fed them, right? You go back there in the teacher's office or the principal's office or whatever. It's not like the principal is like, oh, it looks like you need a peanut butter sandwich. Let's just and sent you back in. No, you sat back there and you starved even more. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were just hungry, right? That's how important it is. And the dietary changes that we make, and they're pretty simple, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, have real-world implications. And they are counter to ideally thinking about that Western diet. Now, why does this happen? It's because of dysbiosis. You heard of symbiosis. I did a whole episode last week on symbiotic motivation. Like, now I'm talking about dysbiosis. That's where all those, that's where the, there goes the neighborhood. There goes the neighborhood, right? There goes the neighborhood right there. It's all the college kids that take over the little beach towns when school's in session and you've been living there for a long time, like that movie Neighbors. And well, there goes the neighborhood. Now the college kids are going to take over. Now the college kids are going to take over. I won't be able to get enchiladas. It'll take me another 35 minutes to get them. When they're all gone and it's summertime, I can just walk up in there, call in my order. Now there goes the neighborhood. The college kids are those bacteria inside the gut that are not there to do the work of the body. They're just there. They start to overrun the neighborhood, taking over for all that, you know, pro-social, probiotic in the gut and outnumbering them. And that shit can be linked to health issues, inflammatory diseases, obesity, and brain chemistry. Like, can you imagine? Anxiety, depression, by way of the enteric nervous system, the gut-brain axis, as we'll call it, as it is called, the gut-brain axis that's involved with the neurotransmitters, the systemic inflammation, right? Because the gut-brain axis has direct pathways, some, with the immune system. And so inflammation, that feeling of just being out of sorts and bloated, some of it which is really self-diagnosed a lot of the times, but in other people who feel it constantly, often, because some of these inflammatory markers cross the blood-brain barrier, right, where your brain is stored in your dome, in your skull, and the closest blood supply to it, there's a barrier there so that not all the shit that ends up in our bloodstream gets into our brain, bacteria especially, and then can, like, you know, kill you. There's that called a blood-brain barrier where some of the inflammatory markers, which aren't bacteria and can't just end up killing you, just make you inflamed. This can make you feel like crap. And the interpretation of you feeling like crap, right? The dosha, right? That can lead to all kinds of stuff. Anxiety and depression. Public health nutrition. High consumption of ultra high processed foods. Convenient foods. Stuff that keeps you going throughout the day. All that stuff that you guys would tell me on a weekly basis, like, oh, I couldn't get to... I was stuck in meetings all day, so they called us in some food. And then I'm like, yo, what did they call in? And it's like just the greasiest styrofoam boxed bullshit where the vegetables, the noodles, and the drink are all the same color. Like, you know what I mean? They're all like a green, brown, white malaise. Like some of that's some of the stuff that you guys used to eat. You tell me about it. And this is, we found that, or public health nutrition, and I'm telling you guys that that's a 12% increase of depression, according to that study. And look, a lot of nutrition does that. We see negative things go up. We look over there and say, oh, it's because you've been eating way too many bacon cheeseburgers. Forgetting, and this might be you guys, why are you eating so many bacon cheeseburgers? And I'll never forget the first time I met this dude, Pablo, in the gym a long ass time ago. He was just a dude that I met and I trained very, very shortly. But I'll never forget because he would tell me, like, he's like either Mexican or South American or something. And he told me he ate red meat every single day. And I was like, huh? I couldn't even wrap my, I said, every day? Not every day. And he's like, yeah, I eat red meat every day. And I'm flank steak on Monday and hanger steak on Tuesday and skirt steak on. And I'm like, what? And he was unhealthy. Oh, it must be because I'm eating all the red meat. Correlation. But what you need coaches like me or other quality coaches to tell you is, nah. Your first problem is just a lack of variety. I don't care if you eat red meat every day, but you also have to get in some variety. And what you're doing is you're blocking your ability to make variety by choosing the same shit every single day, no matter how delicious it tastes with chimichurri sauce. So that's the thing with this nutrition, is there are oftentimes where we look at one problem and we forget that we need to solve other like high-brained things before we start talking about, oh man, you still eat cabbage? You don't put sea moss in that? What do you still eat that mess right there? Your barbecue is pork? You still on that swine? Look, remember what Tupac said, all right? The first thing he said is we got to change the way we live. We got to change the way we eat. I mean, he said it in his song, Changes. You got to change the way you eat. He didn't say we have to stop smoking menthol cigarettes. He didn't say we have to stop driving really fast on the freeway, right? He didn't say you guys got to stop taking stock cars and putting fins on them and replacing your steering wheel with a yoke. He didn't say any of that. He said, change the way we eat. Hallowed be thy name, right? Because that's one of the most important decisions you guys make on a daily basis. It's that food, all right? And so we know that that can have a profound effect on the way that we feel because of this connection, the gut-brain axis from brain to gut. And it's on us to find a way to survive. Let's figure it out. Some of this stuff is going to come to no surprise to you because you maybe listened to too much Joe Rogan over the years and you heard him talking about making his own kimchi. And you're like, what's kimchi? I don't live in California. I live in Oklahoma. And you know what I mean? In Virginia, we don't really have kimchi because there's that one Korean restaurant and you have to drive 2 hours to get there. And when you get there, there's no Korean people there. They're actually Vietnamese. And so I eat kimchi, but I don't know that it's actually kimchi. Well, I'm pretty sure at this point kimchi is widespread. I do know that sauerkraut is, and kefir, and miso. And what do we know about all this stuff? They're fermented. Why? These have probiotics. All right, maybe you're a little afraid of food experimentation. Well, what we're talking about here is yogurt. I like to say get on some of that Noosa. We like that Noosa, that Australian-style yogurt, which is just, it's delicious. It actually is really, really good. It tastes good. It doesn't taste sour at all. They mix in some of that fruit. You can throw some granola in there, right? But it's us thinking about how we're going to take care of our gut. It's us taking care of ourselves in a way that isn't immediately gratifying. Delaying gratification. Not looking for quick, convenient foods. Remembering, too, that there isn't just a one-size-fits-all. You can actually get your probiotics from tablets or anything else like that. But probiotics, that's going to be one of the first ways that we out here making sure that our gut is healthy, that enteric gut-brain connection that stays healthy. Prebiotics. Now, your biotics, your microbiota, right? That's that family, the crew of healthy, good probiotic bacteria that's in your gut, the good ones. They're the ones that are going to eat the stuff called prebiotics. They're going to grow more in your gut and you're going to feel a lot better. So start eating your garlic, right? Fructooligosaccharides, FOS. Inulin found inside of garlic, inside of your onions, your leeks, your asparagus. These things are going to help us, and it's namely these fructooligosaccharides, which are just a type of sugar, long-chain sugar, that your body is going to have not the easiest time breaking down, but it's going to take a while for the gut bacteria to break it down, thereby creating more gut bacteria. As those gut bacteria say, delicious, you want to go back to my room and like explore more about this? Oh, wait, no, never mind, because they're bacteria. They'll just be like, split themselves into halves right there and multiply. And so now you have more of the good bacteria. And we need a ton of fiber, 25 plus grams, 38 for men maybe. And these things help with IBS, especially with probiotics, Lactobacillus rumensis, help us with our digestion, and help with the beneficial bacteria. But the fermentation of prebiotics can produce short chain fatty acids that are anti-inflammatory. And that is that anti-inflammatory process that helps us, that is actually linked with depression. So remember, folks, that I've met a lot of you along the way that have this widespread inflammation. And when you guys tell me that you have inflammation, you're trying to get rid of all the bread, by the way. All the bread in the house. You can't even look at bread. You don't want to do nothing with that bread. That pasta, you're like, get it out of here, Italy. All right, leave me alone. But the truth is, with a lot of that stuff, is you're seeking to solve this inflammation, this global inflammation. And while to other people it might sound kind of like a fairy tale, like your inflammation shouldn't be holding you down, I also notice there's a heaviness with a lot of us when we're out here dealing with inflammation. So whether it is the systemic inflammation in the body or if it's this heaviness, it certainly is causing you to feel really bad. And I think a lot of that has to do with that instant gratification, coming back to that, trying to eat what's in front of you, picking up all of those sweet, rich, savory flavors instead of holding off. Supporting that immune system is important. Improving that fiber, of course, helps with our obesity. And that makes us a lot better. So in the book, let's break it down. We're talking about a few things. And in the book, Mare and the Gut-Brain Connection talks about how certain microbacterias produce neurotransmitters. We like that. We love neurotransmitters. Serotonin, dopamine helps keep us regulated. We hear about that stuff all the time. I support it. Book also talks about that changing your diet can change the microbiota composition. And that's also really good. Altering your diet and very least adding in a bunch of variety is great. Like, you should be basically eating like the rainbow if possible right there. You should be eating the rainbow. You should be eating, you can't think of something purple to eat, like cabbage, you know, eggplants out there. Try and get some of that arugula. Some of the other claims made by the book is that this can help with our depression and anxiety. And changing habits in food and eating helps with depression, anxiety, and depression all the time. All the time. Whether you are looking to make wide-scale changes, just being aware and making changes actually helps with that stuff in ways you don't see until you actually do it. It's very, very good. Then the positive changes you make feel good. You continue to make them, and you feel phenomenal later on as you continue to make those changes. And so let's wrap up by talking a little bit about some of our instant gratifications. All right. A lot of athletes, you guys love to eat like trash pandas. And I know I'm guilty as shit of doing the same exact thing. Because some of that stuff gives you energy, makes you feel on top of it. Everybody in America eats fast food, or 36% of us have consumed fast food on a given day. It's not everyone. It's a large percentage of us. Sugary snacks and beverages. Watching out that, yo, when you guys are over here, for example, eating some of your supplements that come in gummy form. We've already heard the news. That ain't nothing but like healthier candy. So it's like, do I eat a Jolly Rancher or do I eat a multivitamin? It's like probably the multivitamin. But if the multivitamin comes in a gummy, don't you just wish they could make multivitamin Jolly Ranchers? Don't steal my idea, by the way, you guys, because I've already thought about that. That takes a lot of processing. You need a whole manufacturer. Not that easy. Don't steal my idea. But at a base level, that's exactly what we're doing. So that's another place where you got to watch out when you're drinking your low sugar beverages too, this is also a better idea for us, as long as we're not also looking for immediate gratification. So many health drinks out there. A lot of them are really good for us. We're talking about great flavor. We're talking about not using added sugar, because added sugar is the one you want to watch out for, not sugar. Sugar's not bad for you. Stop saying it is. Stop listening to people who tell you it is, and stop correlating in your brainstem that sugar is bad. It's not bad. Added sugar, very bad. Refined sugar, not horrible, but can lead to bad things. But sugar, not bad. And when we can eliminate the sugar and replace it with other types of sweeteners, there are sweeteners that are just sweet. There's plants that are sweet, and they grind them up and they put them in our drinks. That's all good, right? We get a rush of energy and pleasure, which is great if we can say that all this stuff has vitamins and minerals and it tastes kind of funny, but that's because it's loaded with like molybdenum and like potassium and other like selenium and weird electrolytes that we actually need. So if it tastes funny and there's no sugar, but it's healthy, good. If it tastes great, low vitamins, probably miss me with that. Miss you with that too. All right. Beverages, sodas, and fruit drinks. Always the killers. And look, we love our fruit drinks. We love fresh squeezed juice too. But just watch out if it's added sugar. Right? And we're really taking the time though to make sure that that gratification is not immediate in our food lifestyle. If we're trying to stifle our breakfast, choke it down to stifle that hunger, that's that immediate gratification calling for you. All right, my friends, I'm going to leave you right there on that note. And you guys, you're tasked with heading to that website, CoachJohanCSCS.com, and dropping your name and email so that you can grab that jumpstart just waiting for you, waiting for you. Pick that up. It's just hanging out there right now. Look, start this week off by choosing the best foods for yourself and thinking about how it's going to make you feel for real. You'll feel it in your gut, won't you? All right, on a TGI Monday. Until the next one, stay all the way up.